Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
Good afternoon. It is Sunday, July 28th. Another Sunday. Unbelievable. It's noon. I'm Dana Barrett, and you are listening to the Business Radio X Week in Review here on Biz 1190. The number here in the studio is 404-231-1190. And of course, here with me again, making sure I don't step out of line, producer Mike Roy. How you doing, Mike?
Step out of line. You haven't done that just yet, but I'm doing pretty well. Thanks.
Well, you know, that's why I have you here, just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah. Once again, this week, of course, we've got some great interview clips from the Business Radio X studios that we'll be sharing throughout the show, along with some of the hot topics going on here in Atlanta and maybe some headlines you've missed. I want to kind of jump national for a second because there was a death earlier in the week that sort of you may have missed. You know, when one of the big celebrities dies, like, you know, we're all still seeing all over the tabloids, Corey Monteith, drug overdose and all the drama about that. And so you might miss something that's like a little less shocking, which is that Helen Thomas, the legendary White House reporter, passed away about a week or so ago. She was 92, so it's not salacious or even sad in that way. I mean, she lived a great life, but I thought it was worth mentioning in case you missed it, because what a life. I mean, she was really a trailblazer. She was, you know, the first woman to join the White House Correspondents Association, and she just made such a name for herself and was such a smart and powerful woman who didn't give up. So I didn't want to let that go without mention. So anyway, there you go. Put that in your pipe and do whatever you want with it. But moving on, I want to talk about a couple of things around town that I'm a little disturbed by. And you might be too. And that is snakes and mosquitoes. The rain that we have been having, you may think that you've been transported to Seattle. I can assure you, you're still in Atlanta. And the rain that we've been having has, of course, been causing a lot of standing water. And with standing water comes snakes and mosquitoes. So, ew.
I knew that about snakes. I didn't know that about mosquitoes.
Yes, mosquitoes love standing water. Hmm. So I just want to say, be careful when you're walking your dog or if you're out in the park with your kids or whatever about the snakes, because there are some actual poisonous ones out there. There are some harmless ones also. So don't freak out, but just back away slowly. I don't know. Google what to do when you see a snake, because I don't really have the answer for you, just except to beware.
This is the most amount of sunshine, by the way, I think we've seen all month.
And I don't think you can call this sunshine. This is
considering the month of July, I'm calling this sunshine.
Yeah, this, okay.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. And the mosquitoes love the standing water, too. And there's a couple different kinds. And apparently the ones that cause West Nile virus are not the ones we're seeing the most of. So we don't need to totally freak out. But I'm telling you right now, if there are mosquitoes outside, they find me. They love me. So, you know, there again. And actually, I don't know if you knew this either, but they're worse after dark. So mosquitoes like the dark and they like wet. So if you have standing water on your property around your house, you might want to try to get rid of that, because that'll help get rid of the mosquitoes. Okay, moving on. Another little fun fact I didn't know. But blueberries actually top peaches as Georgia's top fruit crop. Did you know that?
Did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, so we shouldn't be the peach state anymore. We should be the
blueberry state.
Yes, and I think they need to rename all the streets. Instead of peach tree, we should have
blueberry
like,
street.
Yeah,
blueberry orchard.
Yeah, blueberry lane, blueberry industrial drive. I'm just saying.
Those sound good, but I think the peach state sounds better than the blueberry state.
Yeah, I
agree. I don't think that'll catch on.
I don't think we're gonna. And I think it's South Carolina now that produces the most peaches. I don't know. Anyway, just thought you should know that. These are things you can talk about around the water cooler in your office and sound really knowledgeable and cool. And that is why we're here, to make you look good. All right, I want to move on to a slightly more serious topic, which is the Falcons Stadium. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there's been a lot of talk about the new Falcons Stadium. There's been all kinds of criticisms about the designs and all, you know, but when you think about something like this happening, you assume that the city and the parties that care, the Falcons and whomever, will just get their way because they have money and they have power and they can just make things happen. Well, apparently it's not going that well. The site that is planned or that they're looking at and that they would really like to put this stadium at, which is south of the current Georgia Dome, they have an August 1st deadline. What did I say today was? The 28th? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a few days from now.
So they've got an August 1st deadline to make this happen. And the problem is that there are two Baptist churches, historically black Baptist churches, that haven't made deals yet to sell their property. And so they're dragging their feet. It's unclear. And this is where, you know, I'd love to have your opinion if you want to call in and give it to me. 404-231-1190. Feel free to call in if you know more about this than I do, because I'm really just reading the headlines. I have no inside scoop on this whatsoever. But is it greed on the part of the churches? Are they looking for too much money? Is the city trying to rip them off? I mean, that's another angle. You know, if that was your property that was sitting in the way of the stadium, would you just take the first offer? Would you try to negotiate? You know, it's very interesting to see what happens with some of these negotiations. Now, one of the churches, this original story came out earlier in the week where they said that the planners have now said, well, if we can't make a deal by August 1st, we're going to start considering a second site, which is north of the current Georgia Dome. Still in the city, you know, they're not moving out to Alpharetta or anything. But the southern site that they originally were looking at, they think is sort of better from a city planning standpoint. It's sort of better in terms of making the downtown more vibrant. It's better for MARTA, for people to get to and from it with MARTA and things like that. So they would really prefer to be at that first site. But they're playing hardball. The city, I guess, is playing hardball a little bit too, because they're saying, well, hey, you know, Church 1 and Church 2, if you're not willing to make deals, then the heck with you. We'll go to a different site.
So when they make deals like that, the churches, do they have an option about keeping their property, or are they being forced to sell?
No, no.
Is that how, I'm not really sure how it works when developments like this occur.
Good question. And no, I think that is something that happens like in the old school movies with like the mobsters and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think there's no force. I mean, they don't have to sell, but they're talking numbers that are like, I think the original offer for the, well, I'm not sure which church. There's two. One is the Friendship and one is the Mount Vernon Baptist Church. And one of them, the initial offer from the city was $13.5 million. And the church came back and said, no, they want $24.5 million. So that's not close in terms of...
almost double.
Yeah. So, again, I'm not sure if, you know, obviously I haven't seen an evaluation of what the property is worth. And the property is clearly worth more because somebody wants it. You know, that's supply and demand, right? But, you know, you have to wonder a little bit if who's in the right here. Is there a right, or is this just another negotiation and we'll have to wait and see, which is really what we will have to just wait and see, because obviously we're not a part of it. But anyway, I thought it was interesting just to keep an eye on the story for you. I think that regardless, we're going to have a stadium in 2014.
Yes, I think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons that they're having this August 1st deadline is because they don't want to get off schedule. So if they can't make deals with the churches that are there in the site that they would prefer in a timely manner, then they're going to move on. And I think the, you know, anyway, so I started to mention that one of the two churches after that story came out came back and said, oh, no, we're going to make a deal. So we'll see. I think it'll be interesting. I'll catch you up next week on what's happened, because obviously we're going to pass that deadline during the course of the week when we're all busy doing our jobs and other things. And so so we'll pay attention, and next Sunday I'll let you know what happened and where the new stadium is going to be. All right. At Business Radio X this week, we always have great shows, but we had a couple shows that sort of had topics that sort of cross-pollinated, which I always kind of enjoy because it wasn't planned. But on the Learning Insights show on July 24th, hosts Stone Payton and Lee Cantor had some guests from, well, Leanne Langford from Training Pros, I think, is a regular guest on Learning Insights. And then they also had Trellis Usher from the Greater Atlanta chapter of the American Society for Training and Development. And basically what they were doing was sort of talking about some of the new trends in professional training and professional development. And one of the things I thought was really interesting was the comment they made about that companies are wanting to invest more in training because they recognize that they need to grow their people rather than hire new ones. Anyway, it's an interesting clip, so I brought it along and I want to have you take a listen.
Give us some idea of the trends we can be expecting.
You know, I think I was asked this question earlier this year too. I think a couple of things that are, you know, sort of obvious. I think, you know, the emergence of mobile learning and social learning, I think, is really starting to frame up now. It's not really so much just about how do you push content out to mobile devices, or, you know, using some of the social media sites just as the only way to really do social learning. But I think some things are interesting that are happening in those two fields right now, and they're starting to become, you know, more professionalized, and people are getting, you know, trained on them and really know how they can be used as part of your overall learning strategy. Again, I think technology around the learning and measurement space and talent analytics is also another space to watch. And so I think as learning professionals, we sort of need to keep our eye out for that. I think there are e-learning development tools that are also sort of, you know, coming out now, that storyline that Articulate, I think, is done. And so some things that are coming out that are really enabling developers of content to get better at it and to do it. You know, it's almost, I remember, you know, first building some e-learning content, and you had to have e-learning developer, you had to have a graphic artist, you may have had to, you know, have audio talent, you had to have all these pieces that sort of came together to create it. And now some of the tools that are out there, if you have the skills to do it, you can sort of do it with just, you know, the one person. And so I think there's some development tools that are coming online. But I think e-learning, from that standpoint, from the tool piece, I think also social learning and mobile learning are some things to watch along with the talent analytics piece. Leanne, you, anything else?
There's still a big focus on developing the high potentials in organizations, mm-hmm. you know, building up people rather than trying to recruit them in.
Yeah.
That's one of our big roles, and it just seems to keep getting bigger.
Yeah.
I think that with regard to the technology, you're right. It used to cost about $1 million to make a CBT,
wow.
not e-learning, remember?
Wow.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
And it would come out on one of those 5.5-inch discs that you would mail to people.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, now I think we're going to be seeing a lot of EPUBs.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be seeing a lot of, you know, the interactive magazines that you get.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think that the learning field is going to be embracing those, and yeah. we're going to have magazine-type learning with videos you launch and
yeah.
that kind of thing.
All right, that was a clip from the Learning Insights show on Business Radio X. You can hear the entire interview at learninginsights.businessradiox.com. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with you right after this.
We used to think all lung cancer was the same.
Now we know that each tumor may have a different genetic makeup.
Several different molecular types of lung cancer have been identified.
By performing molecular testing on a lung cancer tumor,
doctors can try to determine what's causing the cancer to grow.
It's a different way of looking at lung cancer.
Because lung cancer can affect anyone.
The young or old.
Smokers or non-smokers.
You or me.
Knowing the molecular profile of my tumor helped determine my treatment options.
Anyone can get lung cancer, and not all lung cancers are the same. Talk to your doctor to see if molecular testing is appropriate for you. Visit lungcancerprofiles.com to learn more. That's lungcancerprofiles.com. A public service of 6 leading lung cancer advocacy groups with support from Pfizer Oncology.
Focus on the Family presents Today I Will. Today, I will learn about the movies my kids want to see. Here's Plugged In's Bob Waliszewski with your Today I Will tip.
Well, first of all, you can't rely on the ratings. When it comes to the actual content of the film, the ratings provide a very limited amount of information. And I would say that before you go to the movie, or even say yes, find out what's inside the movie. It only takes a couple of minutes to check it out, whether you go to Plugged In Online or another family-friendly website. In most cases, you'll be glad you did your homework. It's okay to make the right choice to protect your family.
Fall is a season of new activities, of new beginnings, a chance to change. What will you do today? Get more Today I Will parenting tips and resources at todayiwillthrive.com/fall.
All right, we are back. I love my little jazzy music.
I wish we were a TV show because we're just dancing to that song.
I love
that
it.
Little bumper because it's so catchy.
It is. I could let it go for hours. We always do this on the second segment too. We're like just having a good old time in the studio. All right, you're listening to the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm your host, Dana Barrett. With me, producer Mike Roy. You can call us here in the studio, 404-231-1190, if you like. No pressure. You can actually try and tweet. I'm going to try and multitask. And if you're shy and you don't want to call, but you want to tweet your comments, feel free. Just use hashtag BizRadio. It's B-I-Z radio, hashtag BizRadio. And I'm going to try. I don't know if I can multitask like that, but I'm holding my iPhone 5 in my hand. This is not an ad for iPhone 5. And I am going to try and multitask here. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, okay, so at the end of the last segment, we played a little clip from Learning Insights on Business Radio X, talking about some trends in the training industry. And like I said, one of the things that I thought was notable about their comments was that they're seeing a trend that companies have recognized that it is very expensive to hire new people, and that they're better off growing the people they have. And that means investing in training and development, which I think is a really good sign, because I think one of the problems we've seen over the years is that companies feel like they can just, if you become too expensive, they can just get rid of you and get somebody new straight out of school for cheap and not worry about the cost of that hire. But the truth is that hiring new people does cost a significant amount of money. So, and I also mentioned, I think, that there was some cross-pollination on the radio stations for Business Radio X, and that's because the show that I did for Good Morning Atlanta this week, where I had five guys that were recognized at the Atlanta's 101 Best and Brightest Companies to Work For. That was Andrew Wells and Brent Collins from Doherty Systems, Nathan Feather from Prime Revenue, Tim Gordon from Infomart, and Rashed Brown from Kingdom Fortunes. And we kind of had a little roundtable, a little panel discussion about human resources. And we sort of talked about everything from the hiring process, resumes, the databases that you have to kind of get through in order to get in front of a company, networking. We talked money. We talked about salary negotiation. And we could have gone on for hours and hours and hours. But, you know, I thought it was just an interesting sort of cross-pollination between these two clips, because these are all things companies need to be thinking about. One of the things that's intriguing to me is that, you know, when you look at an issue like human resources in a bubble by itself, you don't really realize what it means to your company on the whole. And what I'm getting at is that when companies treat people right, whether it's their customers or their employees, that's marketing. It's not just human resources, because those people that you've hired at the hopefully right salary and all of that are going to go out and speak your brand. They're going to go out and they're going to make you look good, or they're going to make you look bad. They're going to be proud to work for you, or they're going to be kind of embarrassed that they work for you. And so anyway, I just really love to talk about that issue, because I think there's a lot of companies out there that don't quite get it. So I want to play another clip for you. And this is, again, from the Good Morning Atlanta show on Business Radio X. And here in the clip, I'm talking to Andrew Wells, who is the vice president with Doherty Business Solutions, sorry, and we're talking about salary negotiation. So let me play this for you.
And so the salary negotiation is, I think, one of the most anxiety-ridden things for people. I mean, one of the most uncomfortable discussions. You go from, when you're the job seeker, right, you think, okay, well, I know what I was making before, but I was underpaid, and I know what I'm worth, I want to make that. But if I say too much to my prospective employer, then I might price myself out of the job. If I say too little, I could be leaving money on the table. And it becomes this very anxiety-ridden discussion. And then companies, and you can all talk to this from the company perspective, I think also I feel like this process is fairly antiquated and can be, sorry guys, kind of manly in the sense that, do you guys ever watch the show Pawn Stars? Mm-hmm. And you know how the guys, you know, if somebody comes in with their, you know, antique Elvis Presley blue velvet, whatever, and they say, I want $500 for this. And the Pawn Stars guy goes, I'm going to give you $200. And they negotiate back and forth. And at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's all about winning that negotiation. It has nothing to do with how anybody feels. It's about winning. And I think this happens a lot on the salary negotiation. So I come in and I say to you, I'm a consultant and I want to make $85,000. And you say, okay, well, we're going to offer you $80,000. And then you win, but not really, because now I take the job because I need a job, but I'm frustrated that you didn't give me that extra $5,000 that I said would have made me gloriously happy. So talk to me a little bit about your theory about what you should pay, how you should figure out what somebody's worth. I'm looking right at Andrew because he's got a smirk on his face like, she's crazy.
No, I think it's a really good point. And have you read Lean In?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and she talks a lot about how women underprice themselves.
Yes.
You know, I think most organizations, we in particular, we have salary ranges, so bands by role. And that's sort of our guideline for how we look at our compensation. We actually compensate above market. So we
because you've read the books. I love it.
Well, one, we want people to be happy about their employment, about their total compensation package, and we sort of want to take off the table that conversation.
Absolutely.
We also want people, you know, it's pretty expensive to hire someone, to have a full-time recruiter go through the process, screen them, get them on board, and train them up. So are you going to let, you know, a couple thousand dollars stand in the way of you getting a good employee that you're going to be able to retain
right.
for an extended period of time? If you look at it from just a business valuation standpoint and the cost of retaining and attracting talent, a couple thousand dollars really doesn't make that big of a difference.
Right.
Now, with that said, it needs to fall in a particular salary band to make sure that they're compensated for their role.
That was, again, a clip from the Good Morning Atlanta show on BusinessRadioX.com. To hear the rest of that interview, you can go to GoodMorningAtlanta.BusinessRadioX.com. It was a great hour, I have to say. All five of those guys had really interesting things to say, and it was hard to pick a clip to play for you. And why I picked one where I was talking through half of it, I don't know. Maybe I just have a giant ego. I don't know. But it was a really interesting show. I really did not hold back. I asked them all kinds of questions about money and keeping employees happy. And I know we already talked about this last week a little bit. It is one of kind of the hot buttons I have about the corporate world. And I always like to talk about it. So, you know, if you have any opinions on the hiring practice and you want to give us a call, 404-231-1190, we would be happy to hear what you have to say. If you've been in a situation where you were offered a job and the salary negotiation was bad and you didn't take the job, or you took something less than you thought you deserved, and how you felt about it afterwards. I have experienced this with so many of my friends and colleagues, and so many times myself throughout the business world. And also not just for employees, but negotiating any business deal, really. So you can take it out of the HR practice and take it to a straight business negotiation sort of place. Because if I have a service and I'm offering it to you for a certain price, and then you start negotiating down, you know, it's this whole thing. It's like becomes this whole car dealer sort of thing. You know, the car, I'm pricing it at $28,000, this car, and you're coming in and saying, I want it for $14,000. Well, that's ridiculous. And then we start negotiating, right? Until we get to a price. Or one of us gets pissed off, which is more likely, and walks away. And it's interesting because, yeah, I'm reading a book right now by Daniel Pink called To Sell is Human. And he talks about the fact that most of us sort of have a negative feeling about sales. We don't like the idea of sales. We think salespeople are smarmy, and you know, but he's saying that this new economy has changed that. Our access to information has changed that, because in the old days, if you walked onto a car dealer lot, they had all the information and you had none, and so you were at their mercy. Now we have just as much information as consumers as the car dealers have. So sometimes more, because we did all of our homework and we know what the car should cost and we know everything we need to know when we're walking onto the lot. However, I don't think it's entirely true. I think that it should change. And actually, I think it has changed at car dealerships, which is kind of interesting. What used to be the smarmiest of smarmy has actually gotten a lot less smarmy. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I was out looking for a new car and it's not nearly as bad as it used to be. But there are a lot of other practices, and we're going to get into one that really, really irritated me this week later on in the show. There are a lot of practices that businesses are still engaging in that are kind of along the lines, in my mind, of smarmy salesmanshipiness, you know, sort of forcing people into uncomfortable positions and whatever. And this, you know, salary negotiation this hiring process that goes on is one of those areas that I think we need to grow into a better place in terms of how the money's offered and how you value an employee. But it's going to take time, and it's going to take people reading some of these books and trying out practices and, you know, hearing from other companies that are doing it quote unquote correctly to really make change, I think, because a lot of people are stuck in their mindset. They don't want to change. They think it's working. They don't realize that the person they just hired for $5,000 less than they should have is pissed off and annoyed and irritated and is not going to speak well of their brand. So something to think about. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with some more clips and headlines right after this.
Kevin McCullough is committed to replace confusion with clarity and empower you to become a binge thinker. Kevin McCullough, weekdays at 5 right here on Biz 1190, a tune-in radio station.
In times of joy and moments of grief, we are there. When the world looks for truth,
militants attack a natural gas facility.
Broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. And our web and social sites are among the most visited sites in our daily lives.
Bring you the video. Do not go outdoors here in Ocean City right now.
When important moments happen, both big and small, we're the first informers to history. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Are you struggling with your mortgage payments? Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about your options. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
CrossFit East Cobb presents the 2013 5K Run with WOD stations Saturday, August 3rd at 10 a.m. The event will be at CrossFit East Cobb, 4696 Lower Roswell Road. All proceeds go to benefit the Shepherd Center's Share Military Initiative. Here's co-owner of CrossFit East Cobb, Chris Sims.
So what the Share Initiative does is soldiers that either served in Iraq or Afghanistan who come home with either a traumatic brain injury, a TBI, or some sort of spinal cord injury, nerve-related issue, whatever it may be. The Share Initiative is a 100% charity-funded, donation-funded organization that will move the service members and their family down to Atlanta to get probably some of the best treatment they can receive, and it's all free.
Find out more about the 5K Run with WOD stations Saturday, August 3rd at 10 a.m. Go to CrossFit.com or call 205-639-2390 or email Chris Sims at csims02@gmail.com.
Biz 1190. Weather.
We'll see a mix of sun and clouds this afternoon. The high getting up to 85. Then partly cloudy skies tonight with a low down to 66. Intervals of clouds and sunshine tomorrow. The high getting up to 89. Tuesday, partly sunny. Highs in the low 90s. And then Wednesday, clouds and some sunshine with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm. The high getting up to 89. Partly sunny with a shower, thunderstorm in spots. Thursday, high again 89. With your forecast, I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Dean DeVore on Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. This is the BusinessRadioX.com Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, Mike Roy, my producer, keeping me in line. All right.
Oh, my mic was off. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was cheering. It was great. You had to be here. Okay, so one of the things I like to do is keep an eye on some of the local companies in Atlanta, some of the big companies like Coke and Delta and Turner and all that, and just keep you updated on stuff that's happening with them. So this headline caught my eye: Coke products now slated for California Pizza Kitchen. A lot of California Pizza Kitchens around Atlanta. Apparently we like the way they make pizza in California. But one of the things that has, if you're a consumer of that restaurant, if you've gone to that restaurant for all these years that they've been here, it's been, I'd like a Diet Coke, please. Are you okay with Diet Pepsi, ma'am? Well, not really, but I guess I have no choice. And here we are in Coketown, which Atlanta should really be named instead of Atlanta, Coketown. And now finally, California Pizza Kitchen, which is a public company, by the way, has made a deal to serve Coca-Cola products. And this is going to be, I believe, in effect by August 31st. So when you make a trip to California Pizza Kitchen following that date, you should have Coke products instead of Pepsi. This will make people who work for Coke in Atlanta happy and people who like Coke happy, like myself. So just thought I'd let you know.
So if you like Pepsi, go ahead and stock up on it while you can at California Pizza Kitchen.
Yeah, if you're a Pepsi fan. And I know there are definitely Pepsi fans in and around Atlanta, though they have probably been shamed into not admitting it in public, you know. All right, moving on. This is a cool story, I thought, because, you know, I like to see legacy brands like Lego trying to do something new and trying to stay fresh and exciting and you know, stick with the times. I mean, nobody wants to be the 8-track tape guy. And you're going, what? You know, nobody wants to be Blockbuster, who had a great idea and then just didn't stay with the times and ended up out of business. So Cartoon Network has actually partnered with the Danish toy maker, the Lego Group, to start Mixels, which is a new concept involving small creatures that can mix and combine with one another in creative and unpredictable storylines. Mixels will debut in 2014 with animated content, primarily shorts. They'll also have games and a collectible building toy concept and more. So, go multimedia, Lego. I appreciate that. And I appreciate that our own Cartoon Network is involved. Kind of cool. We'll see what it turns into, but I thought it was interesting. All right, here's another headline. If you listen to Good Morning Atlanta on Business Radio at X at all, you know that I love lists. I love when these surveys are done and they come out with these lists that put Atlanta on the map for something or other. And there have been all kinds of things over the years, but this new list I found intriguing. This was a survey done by Seattle-based online real estate company Redfin, and they did a list of what are the best cities for single educated women. And Atlanta came in at number 8, according to the survey. So we're the number 8 city in the United States for single educated women. Now, this survey looked at percentage of women with 4-year college degrees, percentage of women with a salary greater than $65,000, and the percentage of women who are single and between 25 and 39 years old. And this is how they made their determination that this was a good city for single educated women. Okay, so I have a problem with this survey. You know, I wasn't going to bring it up if I wasn't going to complain about it. I have a problem for several reasons. First of all, what's wrong with being single over 39 years old? Does that mean I'm not a single and educated woman? And if I'm over 39, I beg to differ, Redfin. I think they should have extended that a little bit because you can still be hip and cool if you're over 39. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Also, the other question I have is basically what they were doing is saying, where are the most single educated women living, right? That's what they're saying. Now, the term is that we're the best, one of the best, you know, top 10 cities for single educated women. Again, I beg to differ, because all this survey is saying that there's a lot of single educated women living here, but that doesn't mean it's the best place to be. I think we need to all move to Alaska where all the men are. Like, just if there's a ton of single educated women, aren't we all just vying for the same 5 guys? I don't know.
Well, I would disagree with that as a man, but...
You think we should...
I digress.
You'd like to have lots of single educated women around, so you're okay with us staying here?
Yes, I am.
I think that's fair. But I just think these surveys are so funny, because it's like, okay, so now if I'm a single educated woman, do I want to... Now, I mean, I will say this, and this is a business show, so I should focus on the business angle of the survey. But what they're getting at is that there are great business opportunities for single educated women here in Atlanta. For example, the CDC, Coca-Cola, Home Depot, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of places to have a good career here. So that's why it's a good thing. But from a quality of life standpoint, do we really want to all live together with a bunch of other single educated women, or do we want to live where there are some single educated men? Just saying. Again, Mike is raising his hand in disagreement. Fair enough.
Yes, I disagree as a member of the opposite gender. Okay.
And that's why we have a radio show, so we can debate things.
You know? Yes.
We don't always have to agree all the time. All right, one other quick story I wanted to talk to you about before I play our clip for this segment, but I don't know if you've heard of an organization called the Georgia Forward, but I wanted to sort of enlighten you if you have not heard of the Georgia Forward. It is an organization that is statewide, and they work to engage civic, business, government, and academic leaders to find a common vision for Georgia, create an environment in which vision and pragmatism trumps political deadlock. I'm reading this right off their website. Discuss innovative solutions to the state's challenges and foster communication and goodwill among all the various stakeholder groups around Georgia. So they don't actually, this is going to sound terrible, they don't actually do anything. But what they do is sort of bring that conversation about what needs to happen statewide to the forefront and try to put the right people in the room to have good conversations to figure out what can be done and then let those people go off and do it. The reason I bring this up is that they had their forum not too long ago, earlier this month, and they named a new leader, and that's Howard Franklin. A.J. Robinson, who was running the organization and who will still be on the board, announced that Howard Franklin has been tapped to lead this new organization. It's something that I think is worth everyone doing a little research on, because they have this forum every year, and they, you know, they do talk about a lot of important issues happening around the state, and they are really open to anybody coming. So even you, Mike, could go.
Oh, even me?
Even you could go to the Georgia Forward Forum and talk about the state. And, you know, one of the things that we get, I think, forget about sometimes here in Atlanta is that Georgia's a big state, and there's a lot of other places around the state that don't have the same issues and problems and concerns that we have in Atlanta, and they need to be heard as well. We probably have the biggest financial impact here in Atlanta in terms of what can be done. But then there's also Savannah. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider in the state of Georgia. And so this is sort of getting people together from all parts of the state, students, you know, leaders, corporate leaders, nonprofit leaders, all kinds of different people to sort of talk about what's happening in Georgia and work to make us better. So, you know, you can't beat that. And while we're on the subject, this is probably going to be the worst segue in the history of radio. But while we're on the subject of nonprofits, I do have a clip coming up from one of our shows this week. It's from the Atlanta Business Radio show. Stone Payton and Lee Cantor hosted that show. And this week they had the Georgia Society of CPAs on. It was Bill Harshman, Mark Azar, and Carly Dooley. And they were talking about nonprofits. And the interview got more into talking about the challenges that nonprofit boards face. But this little clip that I pulled for you I thought was kind of interesting, because all of the talk recently about, and not even so recently, but over the past year really, about all the IRS issues with, you know, unfair this and that about which people can get nonprofit status. And I think it's Mark Azar in this interview that is actually just breaking down for us what the different kinds of nonprofits are. So I thought it would be interesting just to, you know, if you've been hearing all these stories but not clear on it, just to sort of listen to a really basic breakdown of nonprofits. So take a listen.
What does nonprofit really mean? I mean, I have some clients that are nonprofit, but they didn't mean to be. but there are companies or entities out there that intend not to make money. So can you give us sort of an idea of what kinds of enterprises we're talking about when we talk about nonprofits, Mark?
Well, sure. And there's a lot of different nonprofits, and Atlanta is very rich with a ton of nonprofit entities. I mean, our typical charities is what we call a 501c3. Those are the, you know, your churches, your museums, your hospitals, your private schools, your universities. So those are, you know, the majority of nonprofits. But then we also have other types of entities that are nonprofit. You're probably hearing a little bit about this Tea Party, political type groups, these 501c4s, you know, they're really out there for social and welfare or purposes, but the issue is whether they're doing more lobbying and political than social. Then we get into our trade associations, like the Georgia Society CPAs, they're a nonprofit, mm-hmm. your other types of business leagues. And then another big area is your social type entities, your golf clubs, your fraternities and sororities. And so they're all considered nonprofits. And then mm-hmm. we can continue going on, but those are probably the majority of entities we see here.
So we're not just talking about charities.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And they all have their own share of issues, and mm-hmm. but the idea is they're all run by a board and have a nonprofit motive.
All right, again, that was a clip from the Atlanta Business Radio show. And to hear the rest of that interview, go to atlantabusinessradio.businessradiox.com. You know, as I said, they were talking further into that interview about the challenge that some of the nonprofit boards face. And basically, I think it's worth a listen if you're involved in a nonprofit, because one of the things that they were talking about is the whole idea that if you get involved just because you want to help, you have to really be careful, because you're sort of signing your name for some things and you're maybe making yourself liable for some things. So you need to really be careful. You know, I think one of the hosts joked, if I have all the money from the cheerleading car wash in the trunk of my car and I lose it, that would be bad, right? And I think that's kind of the point. You know, you're sort of obligated to do certain things and you need to be careful. So anyway, take a listen to that show if you get a chance on Atlanta Business Radio. And otherwise, you know, I was part of a group of women that got together this week at Callenwald. And there was a lot of discussion. We all went around the room and introduced ourselves, and there was a lot of discussion about people's community involvement and nonprofit involvement. And I think that's becoming more and more prevalent, that people want, if it's not part of their actual job, they sort of want to be a part of it on the side. But there was also a woman there who talked about consulting with people who are making the transition from corporate to the nonprofit sector for their job, and how much they have to offer, but also how little they know about the nonprofit world. So it's a whole topic. We could probably do a whole show just on that. But I think that this interview on Atlanta Business Radio does touch on some of that and is worth a listen. So again, atlantabusinessradio.businessradiox.com to hear the rest of that. And I've saved the best for last. In the next segment, I have a soapbox that I am going to get on, and I hope everyone wants to get on it with me. But in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
What would you do with an extra $1,500 next month? Seriously, I said $1,500 next month. You could earn up to that and way more, part-time from home. How about an extra $5,000 a month or $12,000 a month? Those are actual earnings from actual listeners just like you. They've discovered paidathome.com, the hottest, fastest way to earn an amazing income from your kitchen table, even while you sleep. Paidathome.com won the prestigious American Business Award, and they want you. Join listener Nancy, who earned $1,500 month one, saw that jump to $5,000 and now earns well over six figures. Your six-figure income coach will show you how to earn that kind of money from home, too. They're even giving away $1,000 to a lucky listener just for checking them out. Seriously, $1,000 just for checking them out. Hurry, opportunities this good don't last long. Visit paidathome.com. 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 Income not typical. See paidathome.com for income expectations.
Thank you for making my dream a reality and publishing my very first book.
Karen Notner is author of Is Jesus Your Pearl?
You encouraged me, you laughed with me, and you held my hand through the entire process.
Karen's publisher is Zulon Press. Do you dream about publishing? Make the dream real with America's fastest growing Christian book publisher. Your free publishing guide is waiting at ChristianPublishing.com.
Thank you so much to all the wonderful professionals at Zulon Press.
Visit Zulon Press at ChristianPublishing.com.
Join us for the third annual Celebrate Freedom 5 and 10K, brought to you by Marina's 24/7 Shapes Me Shapewear, ChristianRunners.org, and Sky Zone Indoor Trampoline Park. Saturday, August 31st at Jim R. Miller Park. Get all the details and sign up now at CelebrateFreedomRun.com.
At the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid, we provide more than $150 billion each year in grants, loans, and work-study funds, making higher education possible for anyone. Federal Student Aid, proud sponsor of the American Mind. Learn more at studentaid.gov.
Are you looking to hire someone with proven, world-class job skills? Well, there are some very qualified candidates out there. America's wounded warriors. These men and women are eager to get back to life at home and a good job, which is why Wounded Warrior Project developed the Warriors to Work program. It helps wounded warriors translate their military job experience to the civilian workplace. To hire a proven professional, contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
The more that you read, the more things you will know. The more that you learn, the more places you'll go. Hi, I'm Calvin Rollins, president of the Georgia Association of Educators. Dr. Seuss was right. Reading is the key to learning. And the best part is, it doesn't matter if you read the classics or the comics. Whatever sparks a student's interest, there's a book about it just waiting to be read. So go read and help a child succeed.
A message from the Georgia Association of Educators.
All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, Mike Roy pushing the buttons today, getting us through. And I have, as I said, I saved my soapbox for last. I alluded earlier in the show to my philosophy that marketing is not just marketing. In other words, what you say on social media and the billboards you put up and the magazine ads you do, that's all marketing for your company and your brand. But the hiring practice, all of that, the people that work for you, they're also marketing your brand. And last but not least, here comes the soapbox, customer freaking service. When customer service goes well and people have a lovely experience, then they are happy and they like your brand and they will be brand, aficionados for you. They will go out in the world and they will talk about how much they love your brand. On the other hand, when the customer service system goes awry, shall we say.
Looking for the right words,
because I want to curse and swear, but I know we're on the air, so I'm trying to behave. It's a problem. And let me relate the story that happened to me earlier in the week that got me thinking about this. I had signed up for a service, and this is also kind of fitting into what I was talking about sales and how it's still kind of smarmy in some of the practices. So one of the remaining smarmy practices I find is the ongoing monthly charge of your credit card. I mean, magazines have been doing it forever, right? You sign up for a magazine subscription, and they're just going to keep sending you that magazine and charging your credit card, and they make it kind of hard to find the phone number to cancel that subscription, to even know what your account number is or any of that stuff, right? That's kind of been ongoing smarminess, in my opinion. Well, the internet world has not lightened up on that at all. So now, if you sign up for any kind of service where they're going to regularly charge your credit card, whether it be a cable television, a phone service, whatever, they make it really easy to sign up. They make that really interaction so lovely. You know, you're all excited to be a new member of whatever the service is. You put in your name and you put in your credit card number and you hit submit, and then you're a member and you're good to go. But let me just say, when you want to cancel that service, you better be prepared to be on the phone for sometimes hours to get transferred from person to person to person while they try to smarmy sell you again on their service that you've already decided you want to cancel. And they you can't hang up because they won't. If you don't stick through that process, you will keep paying for that service. I find this to be so annoying. I'm just going to interrupt myself to say 404-231-1190 if you are on this soapbox with me and want to talk about it, or tweet hashtag BizRadio and I'll try to multitask. But, you know, it's a marketing thing. Again, if I might be canceling my service with you for no reason that has to do with anger. I might really have enjoyed your service, but I just can't afford it right now, or I don't need it right now. But I could still be a good brand ambassador for you because I enjoyed it while I had it. You were nice to me while I was canceling and made it easy for me. And I might still recommend you to other people. But if you are going to keep me on the phone for 6 hours, making me jump through hoops, okay, 6 hours is probably an extreme. But, you know, so I want to click, canceled, done. I don't even want to talk to you. Why do I have to call you to cancel my service? I find that to be obnoxious. And if I was a brand ambassador for you prior to that phone call, I will not be after that phone call. And in fact, not only will I very potentially not be a brand ambassador, I will be the opposite.
She will badmouth you to everyone.
And here's the thing that I think companies are missing with all of this. And I would love to see the statistics about how much business they actually retain, because one of the practices that is also super smarmy is that they say, like, let's say I'm paying $29.95 a month for whatever the service is, and I'm canceling because I don't want to pay that anymore. They'll say to you, well, how about if I give you that very same service for $14.99? The cable companies are famous for this. You don't want to pay $29? Well, we don't want to lose you to our competitor, so we'll give you the exact same service for $14.99. But here's the thing. Why didn't you just offer that to me in the first place? Why did I have to call you and sit on the phone for 15 minutes and have you ask me stupid questions about why I'm unhappy for you to then offer me a better deal? This just infuriates me. And the thing that I think these companies are missing is that even if they retain that customer, so let's say I'm that cable customer and I go from my $29.99, we all, it's a joke, right? It's really $129. So let's say I go from $129 down to $89 or whatever, right? So I decide to stay because you've just beaten me down. Your customer service people have beaten me down. And I say, okay, fine, I'm going to stay. I'm still not a brand ambassador at that point. I've stayed and you're getting my money for another few months, but I'm irritated.
Well, because you've been on the phone for so long, you're almost willing to just get them off the phone, even if it means sticking with the service with a reduced price. No one's happy,
right?
Except for them.
Well, but are they in the end really happy? Because, you know, there was, I say I like lists, and one of the stories that I, one of the lists I had a couple months ago was the top 10 most hated companies in the country. And Atlanta had a couple of them headquartered here. But topping the list were cable companies. People hate them. They hate them. And one of the reasons is that practice. I mean, part of it is that if your service goes out and you don't have your television or your internet, you're like super pissed.
Well,
right?
I had an experience like that, and I'm not going to mention them by name, even though they deserve it, because I recently moved, and they wanted me to keep the same services, even though the place I'm in now requires a different service. So
right.
They were doing whatever they could, dropping the price to keep me when it's... I mean, it was a fine service, but it just wasn't possible for where I am now. And I was on the phone with them for a good half hour, just trying to
say no.
Stay no. Yeah, they're salesmen at that point.
Yeah, smarmy ones.
Smarmy ones, yes. I like that word.
Yeah.
I'm going to start using that because of this show from now on.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's exactly a perfectly good point. You weren't canceling because you were angry with them. You were canceling because you didn't have a choice.
Exactly.
So just let the man cancel his service and get on with his life. And then he might actually remain a brand ambassador for you instead of... Right. And here's the other thing I think that's so interesting that I think companies are missing is that not only are you going to talk to the people you talk to, like you and I sitting here having a chat, but you could be somebody like you who's sitting here with me having a chat on the radio where lots of people are listening. And you know what? You don't even have to be on the radio because we all have social media now. You could tweet your anger. You can Facebook your anger. You can get your anger out there in so many different ways now that the companies, to me, are once again missing the point. So, and here's a novel idea. What do you think of this, Mike? What if a company actually reviewed your account after a year and sent you an email or called you and said, "Hi, Mike, we see that you're paying $89.99 for your service, but we have a better deal now. We'd actually like to offer you the $69.99 plan because you've been such a great customer paying on time, and you know we know you love the service, and we want to make it even better for you." Can you imagine how much you would love that company?
I cannot imagine that. The only emails I get are, "Hey, Mike, we need your money."
Right. I mean, can you imagine how much you would love a company that actually called you and proactively offered you a better deal before you wanted to cancel? I mean,
I might just stick with it.
And love them. Love them forever. You know, I have to say, I know we're getting close to the end of the show, but I have to say one of the things that I've really tried to make an effort to do over the past, I don't know, couple of years probably, is be really aware of people that are giving me good service as well as those that are giving me bad service, because we tend to always complain about bad service. So I always like to sort of point out the good service people when I come across them. And I'm gonna just, for the heck of it, I'm just gonna mention somebody right now out of the blue. They're not paying me for this, I promise. But there's a restaurant in Sandy Springs called the Blue Grotto, and there's a waiter there named Chi. He is the best waiter in Atlanta, I swear to you. So if you want to have some sushi and tapas and you want a great waiter, go to Blue Grotto and ask for Chi. Awesome, awesome waiter, and tip him well. Tell him that Dana from Biz 1190 sent you over there. Just saying.
Because she wants a plug too.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I would go in there with a huge group and he would remember what everybody had ordered from the previous time we had been in. He would happily split the checks for us. I mean, just super, super accommodating and a really good waiter. So whenever you come across something like that, I think it's worth mentioning and worth sharing. And so there, I've shared it. What's happening? Oh, I think we're getting ready to wrap
just
it up.
Just waiting for me to hit that button.
Yeah, I was waiting for the happy jazz music, and here it is. All right, quickly, next week on Business Radio X, tune in to the Good Morning Atlanta show. I've got some great guests on that. Also, highvelocity.businessradiox.com on Mondays at 10 has some great stuff. Tuesday at 11:30 out of our Gwinnett studio, you can tune into the Partners for Success show presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services. Silver Lining in the Cloud is also at 10 a.m., you got lots of good shows on Business Radio X, so tune in, businessradiox.com, for all kinds of great interviews next week. And I'll be back next Sunday to catch you up on the Falcons and everything else.